This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay. It's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to ENN on this Tuesday, October 12th at 6.05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am Peter Rosenberg, can be reached on social media platforms at Rosenberg Radio. And I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
You can actually make, what is this? This dog is eating my food right now. That's unbelievable. Anyway.
Good evening to Don.
Ozzy worships Satan. Give me a break. Listen to the lyrics. He believes in God.
And good evening to myself. Some tea and strumpets. I'd like to say that after last night's 3-point win by Baltimore, or 6-point win by Baltimore, I am still
looking at the truth,
the one. As we head into week six of
Peter,
your NFL season.
Peter, can I interrupt you for a second? Who did Don pick yesterday, and how many points did he have to give?
Don up? Allocated 2 points for Baltimore to win by more than seven, I believe.
Like flush. Oh, my. So that's a bad beat.
So when it got to overtime, Don's got to be sick to his stomach.
Well, here's what I'll tell you exactly what he's rooting for, Peter. He wants them to come down and score kick a field goal. That means that then Indianapolis gets the ball back. And he's sitting there praying on every strand of his long hair that there's a pick six and they win by nine. That's the only thing he's thinking.
Don, did you have a moment, did you have a moment, by the way, when you thought, hey, are they going to kick this extra point in overtime or is it
no. I knew
you were
they
sure.
Weren't. I knew they were not going to do that. And that's a shame because I would have gotten out. But he fumbled the goal line. It killed me in the Patriot game and it killed me in this one. Because, listen, Jackson is amazing, but he's got to learn hold on to the football, man.
Yeah, he had a couple. I mean, listen, I'll tell you right now. You're absolutely right. He puts the ball in a dangerous position too often. It happened yesterday a couple times, but I don't know, man. He is up there at the absolute top of the list for me. Brady, I would actually rank him. I think if I'm rooting for a team where I need to make up points in a hurry, he might be my number one guy. Because when teams start trying to play prevent with them, they don't know what to do with him. He's just going to get the yardage back so quickly. Because if the defense drops back at all, he'll just run for 15 yards every time. And then if you step up, as much as people say what they want to say about him throwing the football, in those situations, he seems to throw pretty effectively. He is an incredibly tough out. You're right, Don. He learns to protect the football a little bit better. I don't know, man. He could win another MVP.
Peter, can we sum up? So Don got just one of six possible points, right, this week?
Right. Yeah, he had a rough week.
Wow. And you got 5.5, and I got three.
I didn't get 5.5. I got 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, in case you're wondering, I am still number one.
I'm still number one. One.
I'll make all my picks again. It was the Vegas problem. It's not a LeGregor problem.
Yeah, I agree. I hear you there.
Amazing how he's placed the blame on an entire city.
You guys want to start Gruden or Kyrie?
Oh, I thought, what about this Tampa story that you like?
Well, that's part
out about.
That's part of the Gruden. But do you want Gruden first? You want Kyrie?
I think we go Gruden first.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your John Gruden update. In case you didn't know, he's no longer head coach of the Vegas Raiders in wake of the racist, misogynistic, anti-gay, and everything else abhorrent emails that were found.
Also hates climate change, I heard.
Anti-climate change as well.
Yeah, anti-climate change.
Wow. I if we kept going, God only knows what other groups were going to catch it.
I think he believes the moon landing was staged.
Yeah.
And he's in lockstep with Kyrie. Earth is flat.
Earth is flat, yes.
Yeah. I heard he hates dogs, by the way.
Right. The moon is made of cheese.
Ice cream. He's anti-ice cream.
Despises chocolate chip cookies, I heard.
I found an old clip from...
Cookies!
I found an old clip that we'd put up of the Hot 97 show from years ago. I think it was about Sean Spicer. Do you remember what was Sean Spicer? He was the press guy for Trump.
Press guy. Yeah.
Around the time he got the job, I guess people started digging up his old tweets. And do we ever talk about this? That the guy had like four or five different tweets over a period of years, just absolutely attacking Dippin' Dots.
I'm kind of with him there.
I've never tried Dippin' Dots.
I love.
I haven't either. But
it's the ice cream of the future.
But is it ice cream?
It is ice cream, yeah. But they're dots.
Then what's the advantage of dots?
The only thing I can think of, because whenever I go like to the Patriot games, they always have the Dippin' Dots.
Do you ever get them?
No, because I think ice cream is perfect. I don't
but
know
did
why.
You, have you ever tried it?
No.
Oh, you've well, never then, tried it?
No.
Oh, it's worth a try, Don. They're tremendous.
But
I'm joking when I say ice cream of the future because they've been saying that since 1990.
But what's the advantage over regular ice cream?
There's no advantage.
Then why do it?
I only thought maybe with like little kids, like with my kids' age, that maybe it's less messy. Is that possible?
A little less messy, sure. But once you spill them, they melt. I mean, they're frozen ice cream.
I don't like the whole idea of it.
The bigger point was the obsession that he tweeted many, many times about his hatred of Dippin' Dots.
I was expecting something.
He's allowed
different.
To do that. I thought it was something objectionable.
No. I mean, I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if we waited a few more days if Gruden came out to be anti-ice cream as well. Now,
is there any doubt that Gruden is an oatmeal raisin guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he reeks of oatmeal raisin guy. There's no doubt in my mind. Now, Gruden, we're making light of it, but of course we talked about it seriously all day. Absolutely abhorrent what we learned about him. And his statement was, I've resigned as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I love the Raiders and do not want to be a distraction. Thank you to all the players, coaches, staff, and fans of Raider Nation. I'm sorry I never meant to hurt anyone. Well,
never meant to hurt anyone. Never meant to get caught, Johnny.
Raiders owner Mark Davis, I have accepted John Gruden's resignation as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Thank you, Mark. Good stuff.
Would you get that in the middle of a haircut?
Yeah, really, really powerful stuff. Also, can I just give a bit of a recommendation for people out there? If you're getting accused of racism, please don't say, I don't have a racist bone in my body. Please don't say, I am the least racist person I've never... It is the Don, is it not the ultimate telltale sign that there is actually something there? Just let it be. If you're not a racist,
the other telltale sign is when you come out and say, you know, I have black friends.
They're right next to each other.
Right.
They're in the same level. Just don't say everyone has racial bias. Everyone. So when you come out and say, I've never even had a racist thought. I have nothing about me. You're just screaming of no. In fact, you're so naive that you don't realize that it's impossible to not have racial bias.
You have had racial bias in your life?
Sure, I'm a human being.
Wow.
Of course I have. Often I'm accused by people in my own family of self-hatred. And like Larry David once said, I hate myself, but it has nothing to do with being Jewish. Now,
I used to date a girl in junior high school, Rachel Bias.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that a terrible joke?
No, that was her name. Terrible name, Rachel Bias.
Is that really true?
Mm-hmm.
Don?
I think it's true.
This should be a game. Is Michael telling the truth or not? They weren't sure if I was a movie usher. Now they don't know if I dated Rachel Bias.
I'm leaning towards it being true.
Thank you, Don.
Ballard made an interesting point, by the way, Don. That
it was probably boring, too.
Ballard! All it took was one night hanging out with Michael Imperioli, and done. Michael's dressing like a soprano now with the track jacket. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a statement. The Bucs have advocated for purposeful change in the areas of race relations, gender equality, diversity, and inclusion for many years. While we acknowledge John Gruden's contributions on the field, his actions go against our core values as an organization. Therefore, he will no longer continue to be a member of the Buccaneers' Ring of Honor. He's out.
You think he's more upset about that or losing the $60 million?
He's probably upset about the $60 million.
Now, and I've actually thought about this a lot. When somebody has this kind of thing happen to them, which he did to himself, but what do you do? Do you sit there? Do you, like, cry? Do you just bang your head against? I mean, what can you actually do? His life or his professional life has essentially ended. Everything that he's ever done is pretty much erased. Anything he ever stood for that people thought he stood for, he no longer can stand for. He is now a zero.
It's literally
he has eliminated everything that he ever had in the asset category.
Well, he'll be embraced by hate mongers. You know, he'll have that.
Yeah,
the
but
people.
He can't even go there because if he's saying I never really wanted to hurt anybody, he can't say, well, I'm with you guys.
Right. So he'll
a lot of fine people.
He'll get love from the fine people, I'm sure. But besides that, Michael, I think about that same thing. That's why, and I know this is a demented practice, but I would watch the How to Catch a Predator. And you'd see these awful people doing these horrible things, but I couldn't help but think when I was watching them,
what's next?
And they realized once they realized it was Chris Hansen, and he would say, "What are you doing here? I don't have any cookies." Once that moment happened, they knew their life was over.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in 1 second. Not only the charade and the ruse of the terrible, perverted things they were doing, but their community relationships, their marriages, everything ends in 1 second. Whoa. And for John Gruden, whose name is synonymous with football, I mean, this is a guy who in many ways, you know, Ebro used to always say he thought that he was going to be propped up to be the next John Madden, sort of the face of football. He really did have that front-facing a football personality. Michael, I'm with you. It's completely over. And I don't know. There could be a path that he could take that could allow him to gain some bit of respect over years and years and maybe human decency. He really shows commitment to change and works with people, etc. But in the immediate, you're right, he's nothing.
Well, see, that separates it from like when you say the predators or the murderers. And you can't ever get up from that because that's like capital punishment. This, if he owns it, if he apologizes, if he, as you said, if he does things, admits that he did wrong. See, fighting it just makes it worse, right? Because then it's almost as if you're saying, I really don't think I did anything wrong. I don't think there's an issue here. But if you just admit, listen, I've got a lot of issues. I'm going to go away. I'm going to try to get some help, try to understand that maybe he could build himself back up to some credibility. Certainly not at the level that he was at.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Maybe try to salvage it if indeed you can convince people that you've made serious change.
I have a question. Has anyone in the history of this country had a scandal like this where they came out and looked at the camera and said, I got to tell you, I didn't quite realize it. I wasn't being honest with myself, but I'm a bigot. I just am. I was raised that way. Have they ever said directly that they are exactly what you think they are? Maybe they didn't realize how bad it was. Maybe they found ways to look the other way and think it was a joke. But in reading all of this now, I see what I really am. And
it's never happened.
It's never happened. Probably I wonder what would happen if someone actually said the truth and said, I'm going to now try to work on being a better person. Frankly, I didn't realize I was a bad person before, but I was. I'm not going to hold my breath. Now,
but that would be the only way, right? Because then there could be maybe something that's all right. I get it, but still, it would take years to get to convince people that you've
changed. Have a conversation. Imagine the conversation he could have where he goes, "Oh my God!" And you guys don't realize how many of these conversations are happening because it's happening all the time. I mean, remember these emails he was sending? They weren't just to Bruce Allen. They were, you know, did you guys read like the person who runs the Outback Bowl was on the email. A local restaurant, I think in North Carolina, the owner of the restaurant was on the email. It was a variety of just rich people on these emails. Anyways, so Jay Gruden just appeared on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. with Chris Russell and Pete Medhurst. And he was asked about many things related to his brother, but then most interestingly, what his conversations were like with Beth Wilkinson, who headed up the investigation on the Washington football team's toxic culture. They said, how did it go? What was your experience? Jay Gruden, the head coach of Washington during much of this time, said, no, I haven't been questioned. I don't even really know what the heck is going on. Once I was let go out of there, I was just let go and I just kind of backed away quietly. So they followed up. They never approached you in any sort of way for your evaluation of the culture or a toxic workplace, as it was called? No, Gruden said. No. What what world could there have been a real investigation into a toxic workplace around the Washington football team over the last decade or two, and you don't talk to the head coach of more than 5 years?
That's odd. You think he's telling the truth? I guess he has
to be.
Right? I'm sure.
They'll come right back and say, of course he was questioned. This is what he said or something. My guess is he's telling the truth. That's how bad the investigation was. They did not talk to Jay Gruden. Remember the weird stories, too, that happened with Jay Gruden? There was once a thing about that maybe he wasn't getting along with a player because of someone speculated a relationship with him and the player's wife. Speculation, of course. And then there was the not speculation, the real photo of him sitting on the street smoking a jack, clearly drunk on the streets of D.C. But no questions for him about the culture.
That's hard to believe.
You would think at least the NFL investigation, because one of the other investigations was called for by Snyder. So what do you expect from that?
I know, but for it to be that bad, I guess you're right. But then the NFL demanded one.
Right. That's the one that you would think would talk to Jay Gruden.
All right, well, let's move on to the other big story of the day, and that would be Kyrie Irving, who will not be joining the Brooklyn Nets, not until he's vaccinated and able to join the team in regular full activities. Here's Sean Marks, asked about Kyrie's vaccination status.
Just for the record, can you state explicitly whether Kyrie is vaccinated?
If he was vaccinated, we wouldn't be having this discussion. I think that's probably pretty clear.
Well, but up until that moment, it hadn't been said exactly. In fact, it still wasn't said. If I'm going to be really nitpicky, you know, I like Sean Marks a lot, but they never came out and said it. It's almost like they don't want to say the word.
But Sean Marks is saying is that he'd be playing if he was
vaccinated. Of course. But, like, I'm just saying, I understand what Sean's saying, but it's fair for a reporter to ask that because they've never come out and said it directly. Sean Marks, on who made this decision to move on without Kyrie?
This process is, I think, all of you guys are pretty well aware of. It's been going on for a while now, and we've been bringing all the information to a head here, and I think this is a decision that ultimately Joe Tsai and myself made. We, as always, involve a lot of people in this, but this decision came down to the two of us, and it's what's best for the organization at this point in time.
And he left out Kevin Durant.
He did. Will you look to trade Kyrie?
I don't know that I want to address the hypotheticals of what may happen in the future here. You know, I think this is pretty raw, pretty fresh. I think we've got to let the dust settle. The hope is that we have Kyrie back. You know, we'll welcome him back in open arms under a different set of circumstances. And so we need to wait and see how that transpires. But in the meantime, you know, we need to focus on the 16 players that are going to be on this roster moving forward with us, including our two-way. So the focus needs to be with them, and our goals have not changed. The goals, you know, ultimately still to be the last team standing, and that's what we're going to be. And without a doubt, losing a player of Kyrie's caliber hurts from a talent perspective, no question. I'm not going to deny that. But at the end of the day, our focus, our coach's focus, the organization's focus needs to be on those players that are going to be involved here and participating fully.
Now, you asked the question, Michael, earlier, like what happened? Like, why all of a sudden now?
I think I asked that
question.
They make
this decision, and when you go back to when we had Stephen A. Smith on and said that nobody wants this guy. They can't make a trade. So maybe that's all it was. They were going around, seeing if there's a way to trade him, saw they exhausted every opportunity and realized, all right, well, we can't trade him, so now we've got to own this and just not have him play. That was probably the line.
I think they ran into Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend, and they grew a pair.
Hey-o!
Because that's what I mean. They had to decide: are we going to continue to get pushed around like this, or do we have to make a stand? This is ridiculous. What's going on? And they also got Kevin Durant to sign off on it. As Stephen A said, they're not doing it without Kevin Durant. So it's like, you know, the old saying: if you lose Cronkite, you lose Middle America. When you lose Durant, I mean, where's Kyrie's next move?
But all this could have been done weeks ago. Matter of fact, they got better news finding out that he was able to practice with the team. But they never even addressed letting him go or not having him be on the team before that. I think they've been spending the last couple of weeks seeing if there's any takers. And when they found out, what did Steven say? That one general manager said, hell no. Like, there's no way we want this guy.
I think they were also waiting for something to break where it would be allowed. I'm sure they have exhausted every single avenue to get him able to play. And now they keep running in the nose.
Let's hear from Jay Will, who said he would not be thrilled if he was one of Kyrie's teammates.
I would be pissed off. At the end of the day, I would still ultimately try to respect his opinion because we are in unprecedented times. But, dude, like, the lack of communication is the part that would send me off into a different stratosphere. I would be pissed off about that because I need to hear from you why.
Yeah.
Like, if I can hear from you why, then I can respect it. But if I can't hear from you on what your why is and you just go ghost, if that's the case, I'm not saying it is or isn't, but if that's the case, it feels like that's the case, then that, for me, would make me lose my mind.
Yeah,
I would still be politically correct, but it would make me lose my mind internally. I wouldn't tell it to the media.
Well, especially when you hear Stephen A. Smith saying the rumblings are that the vaccine is harmful. Like, some of the things that Stephen A. brought up, is there any evidence to what he was talking about? Like, it doesn't seem it's a religious reason or he's against the vaccine for any other reason, but he just...
Well, he is like some very, very out there scenarios on Twitter. Check it out. It's like, really? It's strange. Kyrie's got a very active mind. He's very inquisitive. He's very bright, and I think he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. And in this case, he's figured it out while all the scientists in the world haven't.
Let's hear from Stephen A. Smith. He was on with us earlier, and we asked him, would Kevin Durant be okay? Because we know everything goes through KD, and that's what Stephen A. told us. Would KD be okay with Brooklyn trading Kyrie?
I've been told he would sign off on it. It's not something he wants. It's not something he would push for, but he's certainly not going to stand in the way of the organization if they feel they have no choice but to move Kyrie Irving. He's not going to stand in the way of that. He wants to play basketball. That's all KD cares about. He wants to play. James Harden, primarily what he cares about is playing basketball. That is clearly his priority. They have become keenly aware that even though basketball is important to Kyrie, it would be foolish for anybody to imply that it's not. It clearly doesn't appear to be his number one priority, and it's certainly not his only priority. So as a result of that, there are certain things that appear to be getting in the way. That's what the situation is right now. KD's one of those guys, he doesn't want that headache. He doesn't want that stress. But in the same breath, as I pointed out, he doesn't get to just sit in a corner and hide, nor does he get to be quiet about this. This is his franchise.
The other thing that Steven talked about with Kyrie is that, yeah, the answer is he doesn't believe he owes us any explanation. He's not going to lower himself to talk to us about his reasons because he despises the media. But we've had this conversation so many times before, guys. It's not talking to the media. It's talking to your fans. It's talking to your people. And the medium in which you use that is through the media. So if you despise the media, like Michael said, write an article in the Players Tribune. Put something up on Instagram explaining things without having to use the media and talk to all the people because people are important to him, right, Peter? That this is all about trying to better himself, better the world. Well, communication is the way you do that. So if there's some legitimate concerns you have about the vaccine, let people know it. Don't use the media then. Hate us all you want. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to go on an IG Live and just kind of do your own press conference and tell it as you want to tell it. Because I really would just... God, if you care that much about this issue, why would you not want to share this?
Yeah, it's just weird.
Maybe he's like me. I don't like to share my genius either.
It's a really, really good point that you
yeah.
made.
Yeah.
What do you mean? That's all you do is shove it in our face.
No. I will tell you how smart I am, but I'm not sharing it with you. I'm not telling you, how to split the atom. I might know how.
You guys want to do some more ENN on the other side?
Houston leads the White Sox 10-1, top of the ninth inning. It looks like it's over for Chicago and Tony La Russa.
Yeah, that's not it.
Yeah, let's continue on the other side, as they say.
Oh, yes, yeah. No, really.
Hey.
More ENN next, right here on the Kay Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Okay. ENN continuing. A Zoftig two-part ENN on this Tuesday evening on the Kay Show on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. Now, we were talking Kyrie Irving. On our way to break, we heard from Stephen A. Smith. Now, well, let's go back to the John Gruden story for a moment because we did not revisit our own Keyshawn Johnson's audio. He was on with DiPietro and Rothenberg. And here's Keyshawn talking about John Gruden.
I played for him for 2 years, and I don't have an axe to grind at all. I mean, I no problems. I work with him with ESPN. It is what it is, right? At the end of the day, I know who you are. Like, I can see you. You're not going to be able to hide from me, and that's one of the reasons that our relationship was as icy as it was in Tampa Bay is because I was the first person to realize this dude is a fraud, and no one wanted to believe me. It's Keyshawn's fault. Oh, my God, he's a diva. He wants the ball. This is the reason they just form their own opinions and listen to one side. And throughout my whole career, post-career, I never gave a rat's ass about what people said when it pertained to John Gruden because I always knew the truth. And the truth was he is a bad guy. Now, all of a sudden, these emails come out and people want to say he's a bad guy now. I'm like, man, he was a bad guy 20 years ago.
God, I relate to that on so many levels. I know many people who are bad guys, and people, you just see them, like, love them. They love them. And you can't do that much because at a certain point, he's right. After you've badmouthed someone enough times for being a legit bad guy, people don't take you seriously anymore, and they think you just have an axe to grind. And apparently Keyshawn was right.
So yeah, these people that you think are bad guys, do we know them?
Personally?
Yeah. Do I know who they are, some of the people you think are bad guys?
Sure, but you don't know them personally.
Okay. I'd like to be in on it. You know?
I've spoken about them all publicly before, and I have personal knowledge of what makes them bad guys. But no, they're not a bad guy, a great guy. And you go, I've seen firsthand that I know they've done things that are underhanded and legit bad. And people, they're going to learn when they learn.
But here's what I want to know. And again, I can't. It's a tough thing to articulate. All right, he said he always knew he was a bad guy, but did he know that he was this kind of guy?
No. I don't think he did.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do about it. Like,
but what if Keyshawn had a hunch he was that kind of guy? Okay, based on his experiences, based on how he heard him talk, he had a hunch that he was that kind of guy. People take the charge of racist so seriously that Keyshawn might have just decided to be overly responsible, and because it was his hunch, was right. Never going to allege that piece of
right. If it's a hunch, no, you can't do it because that's an awful thing to do just off of a hunch. You said
he knew the bad guy part, but that part was a hunch, probably.
But even if he knew that he was a racist and a misogynist and homophobic, and if he knew those things for a fact, it's really a tough spot for him to be the whistleblower, right? Unless he's got some documented proof about it or whatever. But maybe it's time that when we say we know somebody is a bad guy and you know that this person is capable of these things, when does society make it okay for you to be the whistleblower? Because I'm still not sure that people are comfortable with being the guy that outs the guy.
Yeah, but unless you have absolute proof, like these emails, you can't say that. He could deny it. You've got to have proof before you go forward with something
and
like
tough.
That.
And those things are tough because usually those types of people cover their tracks. In this situation, because you play to the room, right? He felt like he was playing to the room in the emails, which is scary. But he knows he can't get away with that in a locker room when there's several African Americans. He knows he can't get away with that in a room full of women executives and all that. So usually they cover their tracks where you're not going to get pinned down.
I wonder what he felt, like really felt about Nassib. And what did he feel about the African American players on his roster?
Well, you already said, I didn't even realize the piece that you said earlier.
Yeah, he fired Reggie McKenzie.
That he came in and fired his black GM immediately.
Right, who was doing a pretty good job.
I mean, that's pretty wild.
But you also realize that the homophobic and misogynistic stuff does cross the racial lines, right? Like, so it's interesting because there could be people that are of all different races that don't have a problem with what Gruden said in those situations, right? Like, that's what becomes strange, right? Like, yeah, there could be African Americans and Latinos that don't have a problem with what he said about gays and about women.
And vice versa. And all,
right.
For sure. But that, fortunately for him, he hit every group. So.
He had all the bases covered. But, you know, I'm just saying that there's a lot of other things that go into it. Like what you said with the Chappelle, with the transgender, there's a lot of people that don't – that crosses all kinds of lines. So we have to be just sensitive to everything. Now,
let's go back to last night on FS1 and hear the play-by-play of Kike Hernandez sending the Red Sox to the ALCS to take on Houston.
On an 0-1 pitch, Hernandez. Yes!
So we had a conversation about this earlier, which is a very good call, by the way. Who was that on the call, Michael?
Oh, Chip
Joe
Perry,
Davis,
wasn't it?
I believe, yeah. I believe.
We had a conversation earlier because I asked the question to Michael, how long have people been using the term walk-off as, like, really common vernacular?
20 years?
And I said that Andrew was surprised because I said when I was a kid – the term walk-off wasn't thrown around. To me, it's a post-2000. And I would say, Don, honestly, I feel like it's the last 10 to 15 that it's become really
even
big.
Probably even tighter than that. But
like maybe 10, right?
Yeah, I mean, Bill Mazeroski won a World Series on a walk-off. It wasn't called a walk-off. Well, Joe Carter had a walk-off home run. It wasn't called a walk-off.
No. But here, the reason I
brought
it
up. And Joe Carter was 92, so.
The reason I brought it up, it's definitely way later than 92. Yeah, I think if we looked, we could see that it really became super common vernacular as late as like 2007, 2008.
You think I should stop using it?
I think it's overused. Well, I think when I see people going crazy on Twitter saying that the Red Sox just hit a walk-off to advance to the ALCS, and I see it's a sacrifice fly, I'm like, shouldn't there be a different term? Shouldn't walk-off at least refer to a hit or home run?
Well, I think
not
it all
a sack
started.
Fly.
When the bottom line on ESPN, whenever that started, ESPN started to use the walk-off home run. Then it was just like home run. Then we opened it up to singles or hits. And then I would say over the last 5 years, it's now like anything that walks off. Walk-off balk, walk-off walk.
Walk hit by pitch.
Sacrifice fly. That's relatively new.
By the way, the Astros have officially won. That game is over.
Yeah.
So they will play the Red Sox, a Yankee fan's nightmare ALCS. According to Caesar Sportsbook, the Astros are -150, Red Sox +130.
See, now, so here's the thing. Let's just be honest for a second, guys. We're honest every day, but for an extra second here. A lot of our listening audience, hardcore Yankee fans, literally will not watch the series. There are many who won't.
Yes.
They'll be disgusted. They won't watch it. Now, for the three of us, though, who are professionals, I think this is so damn sexy. I'm in now for the ALCS. I'm fully in. This was the best combination available to me in the postseason for getting me to watch a series.
And also, it's not a great ALCS for those that, you know, have this thing that, you know, they still look at these two teams as not being on the up and up, which I think is unfair. They both are. But many people believe the Red Sox cheated in 18, and people believe that the Astros cheated in 17 and maybe even 19. So, and here they are. So they built something that withstood the cheating because they're legitimately really good teams.
Lastly, I told you guys J.R. Smith was playing in his first golf tournament as a walk-on freshman.
Yeah. Turned into a B-movie.
Yeah, he had of course you already know the story. He literally stepped on a hornet's nest and was stung by hornets during the round while also shooting an 8-over, worst score 79 for the round.
He hates that I know things, Don. He'd rather me come into this completely unaware.
Fine, you know what? Show me you know something, Michael. Tell me who the star of the original Exorcist is.
Linda Blair.
Not the girl, not the little girl.
Well, that's the star. I have no idea.
The mom.
Don't know.
Ellen.
DeGeneres.
Wow. No, it's.
Barkin.
Ellen Burstyn, I believe is how you pronounce the last name.
No.
It's spelled Ellen Burstyn.
Burstyn.
That's
right.
That's how it's pronounced. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Don, tremendous job.
Well, because I'm a fan of that movie. I'm also a fan. She was in same time next year with Alan Alda. She's a fabulous actress. But I saw your tweet.
Did you see that? Is that not unbelievable?
She's got to be in her mid-80s now.
88.
She's 87.
So she's 88 years old.
Yeah.
So Natalie had never seen The Exorcist, not since she was a kid. So we rewatched The Exorcist, which is my favorite horror movie of all time and a top 10 movie for me, period, ever. And I'm like, I wonder how old she is. I look it up. Michael, it says she's 88 years old. But then it also says she's reprising the character as the mom for The Exorcist for the first time in three sequels to The Exorcist that are being done.
That's awesome.
Blew my mind. Do you know she has the Triple Crown?
What does that mean?
Primetime Emmy, Tony Award, Oscar.
So she doesn't have the Grammy, so she doesn't have the EGOT.
No EGOT, but a Triple Crown. That'll do it for ENN. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, October 12th.
All right, so Anthony Greek looked it up. The term walk-off goes back to 1988. Dennis Eckersley coined it. Told
so that's
the
when it started.
Globe, it was always a walk-off piece, like something you would hang in a gallery. The walk-off piece is a horrible piece of art. And it actually meant something different because when he gave up the home run to Kirk Gibson, he walked off the mound.
Right, and he's saying it's garbage. It's terrible.
Right.
Wow. Wow.
Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. The big fella joins us in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.